This morning, here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the beginning of this glorious month of Kartik, we're reading from the Granthraj, the king of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, entitled The Activities of the Prajetas, text number 42. Translation, Dear Lord, you have no enemies or friends. Therefore, you are equal to everyone. You cannot be contaminated by sinful activities, and your transcendental form is always beyond the material creation. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead because you remain everywhere within all existence. You are consequently known as Vasudeva. We offer you our respectful obeisances. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Vasudeva because he lives everywhere. The word Vas means to live. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ekopi Asho Rachayutun Jagat Ananda Kotim. The Lord, through his plenary portion, enters into each and every universe to create the material manifestation. He also enters into each and every heart in all living entities, and to each and every atom. Because the Supreme Lord lives everywhere, he is known as Vasudeva. Although he lives everywhere within the material world, he is not contaminated by the modes of material nature. The Lord is therefore described in Ishopanishad as Apappa Vidham. He is never contaminated by the modes of material nature. When the Lord descends on this planet, he acts in so many ways. He kills demons and performs acts not sanctioned by the Vedic principles, that is, acts considered sinful. Even though he acts in such a way, he is never contaminated by his action. He is therefore described as Shuddha, meaning always freed from contamination. The Lord is also Sama. He's equal to everyone. In this regard, he states in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshu stinapriya. The Lord has no one as his friend or enemy, and he is equal to everyone. The word sattvaya indicates that the form of the Lord is not material. He is Satchidananda Vigraha, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. His body is different from our material bodies. One should not think that the Supreme Lord of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a material body like ours. Translation again. Dear Lord, you have no enemies or friends. Therefore, you are equal to everyone. You cannot be contaminated by sinful activities, and your transcendental form is always beyond the material creation. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead because you remain everywhere within all existence. You are consequently known as Vasudeva. We offer you our respectful obeisances. A very beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The prajetas here are offering their respectful obeisances unto their Ishtadeva, their worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna. Their prayers glorify many of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. Actually, so much so that a devotee could speak on this verse for many hours, not 40 minutes. For many days, for many weeks, for many months, we could speak from this one verse of Bhagavatam because it's pregnant with so many transcendental meaning. Actually, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur lectured on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for an entire month during his visit to what is presently Bangladesh, Dhaka, Bangladesh. I went to Bangladesh with His Holiness Radhanath Swami and several brahmacharis, went there on parikrama to visit the holy places, particularly Keturi, where Srila Narottam Das Thakur appeared. And we landed in Dhaka, and I remembered this story, let us say a pastime, of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati speaking from 1 month from this one verse. And we visited the Gaudiya Math temple that is there. And I was surprised to see that there was a plaque commemorating the fact that he sat on that Vyasasan there and spoke for 1 month on the verse, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Remains in my mind, a plaque commemorating that fact that for 1 month he spoke on one verse. There's so much to say. And if you were listening carefully, you can understand we could spend the entire Kartik on this one verse. But for now, we'll just focus on one of the points, the first point, where the Prajetas glorify their beloved Lord by saying he's Samaya. He's equal to everyone. Or Srila Prabhupada translates that, Dear Lord, you have no enemies, you have no friends, therefore you are equal to everyone. Now this description of the Lord echoes the Lord's own words in the Bhagavad Gita. Our pundits will know this verse. Ninth chapter, above, I believe it's verse 29. And it's quoted here. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namidhveshus dinapriya ye tumam bhaktya mayi te teshu cha yaham. Krishna says himself, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend. He's in me, and I am also a friend to him. So the word sama also appears in this verse in Bhagavad Gita. And there Prabhupada translates sama as equally disposed. Krishna is equally disposed to everyone. And name dveshu, Krishna says, I hate no one. In other words, I have no enemies. And napriya, no one is especially dear in this world, in the material world. No one's favored by me. I just reward their pious or impious deeds as time goes on. I have no... But if one wakes up and realizes, Jivera Supoya Krishnera Nityadas, that he's my eternal servant, and he cries out to me for mercy, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He's a friend. He's in me. And I am also a friend to him. So, Padma Purana states there's two classes of men or mankind in this world. There's divine and there's demoniac. There's pious and there's impious. But by Lord's grace, there's a small minority of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who realize their fallen state and are praying for mercy. So for them, Krishna extends himself. Otherwise, he has no friends and enemies. Under the dictation of the laws of nature, people are receiving the results of their pious and impious deeds. So he has no friends. He has no enemies. Krishna is equal to all. But to play the devil's advocate, this statement, both by the Prajetas and by the Lord himself, it may appear contradictory to other statements by the Lord or other actions by the Lord. For example, in the same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Paritunaya sadunam vinashayata duskritam dharma samsta panartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious, favoring the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants, looks like enemies, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So it appears the Lord does favor the pious. He does favor the pious. They're more ready for Krishna consciousness than the demoniac. So sometimes the Lord makes the arrangement. He sends a Harinam party out, chanting the holy names, distributing books. Agyat Sukriti. Sukriti means, Agyat Sukriti means devotional service done unknowingly. You don't know I'm serving Krishna. But by buying a book and assisting the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, just by hearing the holy names, just by saying, Mommy, is that the Hare Krishnas? It's counted as. So, one begins his devotional. So it appears the Lord favors. And by killing the demons, he establishes them as his enemies. They themselves say they're his enemy. But it appears contradictory. I have no friends, I'm equal to all. Wait a minute, if you're equal to all, why are you blessing those people and chopping off the heads of Shishupal? Apparently he takes sides. So, it's a contradiction. But all contradictions are resolved by Christian conscious philosophy. It's so complete. There's no other philosophy on this planet, material or spiritual, as complete and perfect as the philosophy we have in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, or our BBT editor said, perfect questions, perfect answers. And I realized this is actually the glory of the International Society, amongst the many glories of the International Society for Krishna Philosophy. It's what sets us apart from all other respected spiritual institutions. I attended the World Parliament of Religions. I mean, such a prestigious event where the leaders of all the mainstream religions came, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hare Krishnas, were right in there, and everybody else in between. And I just went around. This was a couple of years ago in Melbourne, Australia. We were invited. I had a small talk to give there. But I took the time to go to all the different talks by the major, with all due respect, because it was mostly emotion, and there was a lot of politics involved, and there was nothing substantial. I didn't hear one of the respected speakers say, Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit soul. I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul. We heard nothing about, you know, karma, about reincarnation, about sattvic, rajas, tamasic life, parastasma tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana, that beyond this world, which is sometimes manifested and sometimes there is an eternal world full of bliss and knowledge, and there the Lord resides in a transcendental form as a cowherd boy, very easy to love and to surrender to everything. Nothing. Our philosophy is a strength. So amazed. So how do we resolve this apparent contradiction that the Lord has no friends and he's equal to all, when he's obviously giving the mercy to the pious, giving the opportunity to take up Shuddha Shatva, or transcendental service to the Lord, and he's just chopping off the heads of demons? Shishupal had one head, Ravana had 10. Chop, chop! How do we resolve? How would you resolve if someone on the street, probably not on the street, but maybe at a university, or you're giving a university program and there's some smart information technology, you know, students from Mumbai there, and they pose this question. What do you say? Well, Srimad Bhagavatam is for instruction, so I'll tell you what to say. You have to remember. We can resolve this contradiction by understanding the Lord's position, his supreme position, as he states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Prada Pita. Aham Bija Prada Pita. He is what? The seed-giving father of every living entity. The important word amongst all those words is Pita. He's the father. He's so many other things, but he's also like a father. Just like in the position of serving as a spiritual master, you know, we have the official role as a guru, and we have our students. But I know after so many years that it's not, the spiritual master also has other roles. He's also like the father, just like Srila Sanatana Goswami here in Vrindavan. He was writing books on the science of Krishna consciousness, setting an exemplary ideal. He would sometimes wander through the villages and talk to the people and solve their practical problems. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he was involved in people's lives, their families, their communities. He was probably, it's like the father. Sometimes I find myself being the psychiatrist. So this, Aham Bija Prada Pita, Krishna said, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So in this world, we see that sometimes a father, he has his children. Sometimes he praises his sons and daughters, and sometimes he chastises them. But both the praise and the chastisement are what? Expressions of his care and love. It's not that by praising one son, he sees that son as his friend, and by chastising the other son, even severely, one should take it, oh, that son is the enemy. No. Both praise and punishment are the signs of the father's care. Sometimes punishment is required. It's necessary for rectification. Just like yesterday, two of my disciples, they made a serious mistake. They disobeyed my instructions. I had to call them to the side and chastise them. But it was done out of love. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And so it is with the Supreme Pitta. It's interesting. Krishna says, I'm your Pitta. Like Gaur Shakti. He's 40 years old. He still calls me Pitta. But it's a different, the roles are reversed. Pitta, you shouldn't do this. Pitta, don't go there. Pitta, spend that money wisely. He's like, okay, thanks for the advice, son. But still, he's 40, he's still Pitta. So it's an affectionate term in our movement. When I took sannyas in 1979, I returned to France and I traveled through the country. I went to New Mayapur, where I was previously the temple president, and Gaur Shakti was there. He was only a young boy. So they were saying, you can't call your daddy Pete anymore. You have to call him Maharaj. When you see your father again, he's a Maharaj now. He's got a danda. He's in saffron. You call him Maharaj. Okay. I remember very clearly, I came to New Mayapur, you know, and I came in the temple room, and, you know, they had a reception, whatever. And then the kirtan was over, and it was silent, and he stood up, he said, Pita Maharaj. So all the children, I came back, and I was serving there for some time. They all called me Pita Maharaj. And sometimes they call me the ice cream swami. But anyway. So you could say Krishna is dealing with us affectionately. Aham bija pada pita. That he's the seed-giving father. And in the same way with his sons and daughters in this world. Jivera supoya krishnara nityadas. Our eternal identity is we're all children of God. And therefore, he, in the ultimate vision, he doesn't see us as friends and enemies. He sees us as his sons and daughters. A minority is surrendered, and majority is deviant. This is the material. This is a place of forgetfulness. From Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone's fallen. We've fallen from grace. We committed the cardinal sin. We've turned our back on God and come to the material world. So who could have even an ounce of pride in this world? Irregardless of your position due to past pious activity, you may be a very important, famous, you may even be humanitarian, very benevolent, and may begin to think of yourself as something important. But we must always remember that we're all fallen in this world to greater or lesser degrees. And Prabhupada said one time, the Supreme Lord, he's more anxious that we come back to Godhead than we are. Therefore, millennium after millennium, he comes and tries to wake, and he deals with us accordingly. For those who have some piety, some punya, who are less sinful, who have a sort of perhaps spiritual awakening at some point, but don't know which direction to go. Tesham satada yuktanam. Bhajatam pratipurvikam. Dadhami buddhi yogam tam. Yenamam upayanti te. To those who have some inclination, some love for me, I give thing by which they can come to me. Like a father takes the hand of his child and leads him through life. So Lord takes our hand in our infancy of spiritual life, and he guides us on the path back home. What he does is he directs us. Knowingly or unknowingly, usually unknowingly, he directs us to a bona fide spiritual institution like the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and to a spiritual master, and to the Association of Vaishnavas. We should never think that our introduction to this great movement and the shelter we have at the lotus feet of our spiritual master and the beautiful association we have of some, that's not by chance. Nothing happens by chance, even materially. It's stated, not a blade of grass moves without the direction of the Lord. So even materially, people are simply working out the destiny of their past karmic activity. Krishna says the intricacies of karma are very difficult to understand. You can't pinpoint it. But you can be sure and certain that day you were walking down the street and you met a devotee, or you got a bite of prasadam, or your friend invited you to a nama, not by chance. Tesham satada yuktanam. Krishna knows the mentality of each and every living entity. And even though it's a tiny little spark, a little ember about to go out, if it's there, out of his infinite mercy, the Lord fans it. Those of you who are Boy Scouts, it's a little thing, but even a spark can be the source of a huge fire. But not by chance. So for his devotees, that's how he helps them on the path. For the demons, he's also merciful to the demons by killing them. It's easy to understand directing someone to a spiritual institution, association of devotees, and mercy, but how is the Lord chastising his deviant sons and daughters? How's that an expression of his care, or what to speak of love for them? Well, first of all, by killing the demons, at least he stops them from committing more sinful activities. Like my brother, I remember so many times, stop that, son. I told you, stop. Stop. And whatever I was doing was not good for me. So I stopped. So the Lord, by killing them, at least he stops them from committing more sinful activities, which would add to their karmic debt, which means more suffering down the road. Like the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. The only thing you can get from sinful activity, you may get some momentary pleasure from your sinful activity, but there's two sides to the coin, heads and tails. And in due course of time, you're going to get the result of that sinful activity. Has to be. So he stops us. What to speak of the Lord killing the demons? And we're speaking about big demons. They become purified. When Prahlad Maharaj inquired from Lord Nrisingadev about the fate of his father after the Lord had killed him on Hirikashipu, Lord Nrisingadev replied, Trishaptabhi pita putta pitabhi sahate naga yat sadhosha kule jhato bhavan vaikula bhavanaha. Very famous verse. Prahlad, because you are my pure devotee, the Lord said, 10 generations of your forefathers and 10 generations of your descendants are automatically liberated. So by killing Hiranyakashipu, he was not only freed from his bad karma, but he got moksha. So as a father expresses his love by blessing one child and chastising him, this one's my friend's name. Both the praise and the chastisement out of are meant to rectify is a sign of love. So when Krishna kills the demon, it's a sign of love. Whoa. Remember my mother, I took her to the temple for the first time. I was visiting home in California. We went to the temple in Berkeley. We came in and the devotees had put this huge picture of Lord Nrisingadev as you come into the temple because there had been attacks on the temple. We came in and my mother said, "What's that?" And I was a young, naive devotee. I said, "Mom, that's God killing his father." My mother said, "And what about the mother?" I didn't know what to say. I said, no, it's okay, Mom." She said, "I don't want to come in." Difficult to understand. Hiranyakashipu was liberated. So the Lord's equal to all. He just delivers the pleasure of the pain according to what we need to become purified. But this process of moksha, liberation, it's not recommended. Don't become a big demon to attract the attention of the Lord so he cuts off your heads and tears out your hearts and takes your intestines as a garland. No. Attract the attention of the Lord by being very humble and submissive and crying out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. One might, pondering these pastimes of the Lord, might wonder at the technique. Prahlad, he put his lotus paw, actually, I was going to say hand, half man, half lion. Yeah, hand, because the head was the lion. So he put his hand on Prahlad's head, and the Bhagavatam said, purified him of any last remnants of material attachment. It's very interesting, actually. Prahlad Maharaj had puna the darshan of the Lord himself, but it appears that even in advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, there may be some subtle contamination. For example, Bharat Maharaj was so advanced in Krishna consciousness that when he chanted Hare Krishna, he cried tears of ecstasy. What happens when we chant Hare Krishna? Do we cry? We're still trying to focus on the mantra, still trying to develop some attachment. But Bharat Maharaj, so advanced, he'd renounced his kingdom, everything, actually renounced it, he had some affection. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Still, there was some very, very subtle contamination, just like Prabhupada, I listened to a tape the other day, camphor. Camphor has a certain odor to it, right? So the camphor's on the table. You take the camphor away and put it in another house. But still, you come back in the room, the scent is still there, isn't it? Some flavor of there. So we may remove lust, anger, greed, envy, jealous. We may all these bad things. But some subtle flavor of, some subtle independence, independence from Krishna, some desire to enjoy, it may still be there. So they have a saying, the race is not over till it's over. So out of his mercy, it appears, of course, Prahlad Maharaj is Nitya Siddha, he's an eternally liberated soul. But eternally liberated souls, when they're in this world, they act in such a way as to set examples for us. Both how to begin the process of Krishna consciousness, how to go through the intermediate stages of Krishna consciousness, and when we reach the advanced stage, we also need guidance because the race is not over till it's over. We don't want to fall into the situation of Bharat Maharaj, that we're advanced, we're crying, but because of some camphor-like scent, still attachment. So Lord is very kind. Prahlad, he didn't have that, but just like Arjuna didn't have lamentation, but it appeared he did, so Krishna could speak the Gita. So Prahlad demonstrated like this, and the Lord put his hand, washed away. But the technique of purifying his father, who would... He's the Pita of Hiranyakashipu also. He's so kind. Is he ripped out his heart? It takes to rip out the heart? You have to go through the rib cage? I read about heart operation. One of my godbrothers having a, replacing the arteries, and I wonder, what are they doing? So I read, they cut the chop up, and they rip open your rib cage, they hold it there by something, and they go on. Lord, and he took the heart and he threw it to the other side of the assembly hall. You're dead. But just to make sure, he had surgery in the abdomen. His hot claws, it describes in the Bhagavad, the hot claws, because hot means it can pierce easier. Like a hot knife goes into something quicker. His hot claws, because he was angry, and then he took out the entrails, which are, we learn in my biology class, senior year of high school, 11 times the length of your body. Yeah, your intestines are 11 times the length. All our doctors, aspiring doctors, wrapped it around the neck. This is his garland, his victory garland, like this. But in doing so, we should also understand that the Lord is not performing some medical procedure. Everything he does has great meaning. By taking out he's also taking out the false ego. He's taking out the lust. He's taking out the anger. He's taking out the greed. This is the significance. Otherwise, how did Hiranyakashipu achieve moksha? The Lord, this is the most amazing thing, actually. And there's that verse in the Bhagavatam describes how Putana, although she came to kill the Lord, she became the wet nurse. Wet nurse means that if the mother can't give milk to the child because she's busy, in the Vedic culture they had nurses who were also had a child, and they would also, milk would be in their breast. They would feed the other baby. It's called a wet nurse. So Putana became a wet nurse in the house of Yashoda. Actually, Shukadeva Goswami, he ran away from home after being in the womb for so many years. He left the house of Vyasadeva, went to the forest, and Vyasadeva couldn't get him back. He was a realized monist. But when Shukadeva Goswami heard the pastime of how Putana was delivered, realizing how merciful is Krishna, how amazing, he came back to be a full-fledged devotee of the Lord. This is another pastime which is elaborated on by our acharyas. So Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, and the Nrisimha Purana says that where is Hiranyakashipu now? He's in the Nrisimhaloka. Every deity of the Lord, every expansion of the Lord, ete chamsa kolopumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vakalam lokam vidayunte juge juge. Krishna is the original incarnation, but there's so many expansions to fulfill the Lord's purposes, so forth and so on. And he has his devotees. So all the Sringa Bhaktas, they go to Vaikuntha and they have their ras with the Lord there. Hiranyakashipu's there. He's a foot servant of Nrisimhadev, and he's depicted, he got to keep his mustache. Nrisimha Purana said, he has a spiritual body. He's still proud of his big mustache. Like that. Don't doubt such statements. It's incredible. We can understand how the Lord can give mercy to devotees. How and why he would give mercy to these rascal demons? Because he's the Pita, he's the Father. Father has natural affection for his family. You all know. Even now we're taught to love all living entities, but come time, you know, some festival, holiday, hey, we go with our family. But the Lord's family, or the realized Vaishnava's family, the whole world. Prabhupada said a sannyasi, he gives up his immediate family, and he has the same affection for every creature in this world that he had for his former wife, that he had for his former son, that he had for his former daughter. This is, so the Lord, he doesn't, you're thinking friend and enemy, Prahlad and Hiranyaka. Lord's not thinking. He's thinking, Hiranyakashipu, you're a bad boy. And appropriately, he purifies him. So this resolves the contradiction. How is the Lord friend and enemy, equal to all? But, you know, he favors the pious. No, different expression of his care and his concern. Don't think of it as any type of exaggeration. If you think like that, look in the mirror and remember what you were like before you came to Krishna consciousness. Or better yet, go home and look at an old photo album. What you were like before you joined ISKCON. And then, you know, take your computer and take the little, you can click a picture of yourself on your screen, make it a screensaver. Put the two pictures together. Oh my God, it's true. One time a devotee was reading Nectar of Devotion, and Nectar of Devotion, it stated that if a chandala or malecha or yavana, someone outside the varnashram system, very fallen, just out of respect, some sentiment, stands up to receive the Rathyatra card as Lord Jagannath goes by. Not very learned, nothing at all, but just, oh, the Lord, and he goes back to, you know, whatever he's doing. He's to be counted as an eternal associate of Lord Vishnu. Devotee read that. He went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, it says here, well, I've heard that, you know, if a chandala stands up, and Prabhupada said, where is that written? Where is that stated? And the devotee said, in your nectar of devotion, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, oh, if it's written in Shastra, it must be true. So both in blessing the devotees and killing the demons, the Lord is showing his equality to his no friends, no enemies. And that is very nicely stated in this famous verse from Nisringa Purana. Or I haven't actually found it, but I've heard it. Verse chanted by the Nisringa Bhaktas. Om, Am, Hrim, Shrom, Om, Fat, Om, Tataka, Hataka, Keshaka, Dadlat, Padaka, Lochana, Bhadhaka, Nakasparsha, Diva, Simha, Namostute. O my Lord, O transcendental lion, I offer my respects to you along with Mother Lakshmi, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot. Your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. I love that verse. I think about it a lot when I'm on Sankirtan. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So ultimately, every living entity has to decide, does he want the glance or the nails? One last point. We only have 5 minutes left. We have a saying in English, like father, like son. Just as the Supreme Lord has no friends, he has no enemies, he's equal to all. And while in this world, his focus is meditation, is bringing all his sons and daughters, be they pious or impious, be it easy or difficult, back home, back to Godhead. That's why the Lord comes. And that's why his pure devotee comes. Just like one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Sridhar Maharaj, he glorified his godbrother Prabhupada by saying he must be Shaktavesh Avatar. Because look what he's done. He's created a spiritual revolution in the Western countries, which means the whole world, by taking Krishna consciousness there and spreading the teachings of Gita and Bhagavatam and Hare Krishna. When Prabhupada came here, that was his meditation. And practically, if you read the Leelamrita, it was a lifetime in preparation, as Satsavit Maharaj aptly chapter. A lifetime in preparation. Although Prabhupada left very late in his life, that was his meditation. Preparing himself, be prepared, but admit that was his focus as well. Preaching. So, as it is the Lord's mission when he's in this world, because we're his sons and daughters, it's our mission. Because it was Prabhupada's mission, Prabhupada never took time off. He was always busy preaching Krishna consciousness. He may be who he is in the spiritual world. We're not allowed to speculate. No doubt, he's a very intimate associate of the Lord, because when you have some important mission, you entrust it to your most trusted personnel, aide-de-camp. So this most important mission of continuing with the mission of Lord was entrusted to Sridhar Prabhupada. But when he came here, he didn't act like he was in it. His mission was preaching Krishna consciousness. So that's our mission also. We may be curious, what is our swarup with Krishna, and what is our, that item may be there. But like Prabhupada, the beat of our heart must be to assist him in delivering all these fallen conditioned souls in this world. That was the mission of the six Goswamis who were living here in Vrindavan. Living here in Vrindavan, but they were thinking of the deliverance of fallen conditioned souls not only then, but hundreds or thousands, 10,000 years into the future. Because the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is meant to go 10,000. Dira, dira, jana, priyo, priya, karo, nirmatsuro, pujito. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they're popular with both the ruffians, the gentle and the ruffians, because they're not envious of anyone. So we also have to have this vision of equality. No one is our friend. No one is our enemy. We're equal to all. Certainly, if you're a preacher, like Krishna was, like Lord Chaitanya was, like the six Goswamis were, like Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj is, if you're a preacher, as to each his own, as much as you can do, a family man has their way of preaching, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, Sankirtan means the complete glorification. It all comes together as one package in service to the Lord. But this is and will always be a missionary movement. We don't see someone as friend or someone as enemy, and we're equal to all. We're giving this wonderful opportunity for everyone. We don't go in Harinam and say, okay, we're going to chant for that crowd, but not this crowd. We chant very loudly at the Goswamis. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And even if someone is inimical to us, to Tikshava, we tolerate. Understanding that deep inside, they're our brother or they're our sister. They're just covered for the moment. Just like I was walking over from my house to the temple here this morning, and there were some people going on Parikrama. One big man, big local man, big beard, Indradum Maharaj! I said, yes, I'm going to kill you! There's no joke. He was trembling. You rascal! Bash your head. You'll see. I'm going to kill you and make you... It's going to be a painful death. And all the devotees are around like, whoa. And he started coming. He hit this big stick. I never met the man. And, you know, sometimes it's not just the person. I represent the movement. So he may hate ISKCON or something. But he knew my name. Took that stick. Some devotee, he's probably here, walking behind me. He broke that stick on the back of that devotee. I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can't say I wasn't afraid. I was standing there, but then afterwards I'm thinking, actually he's just intoxicated by the material energy. And therefore he's acting like that. Deep inside, he's also devoted, he's living in Vrindavan, but he's somehow under the influence of the intoxication of it. It's not easy. Not easy to be a preacher. You have to be... imbibe the mood of our previous acharyas who, despite so much opposition, they were always compassionate. It's hard to be like Jesus. He's dying on the cross and he looks down at the people who are crucifying him and the soldier who's stabbing him in the here, under the ribs, and he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Or Haridas Thakur, our beloved Haridas Thakur, who's been being beaten through all the marketplaces because of the offense of chanting Hare Krishna in public. But he's not dying. He's Siddha. He's this powerful soul. You can't kill a person like that. They leave when they want to leave. And he looks at the soldiers who are carrying him, and they're all in distress because they know that if he doesn't die, that the king's going to have their head. So he said, what's the problem? Well, sir, if you don't die, they'll have our... So out of compassion, he feigns death. They throw him in the river. This type of compassion, this is what we're praying for. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, when will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? And with a humble, lowly heart, I will go out and command. And it may not always be easy. One time we were on Harinam in Paris, and Prabhupada was visiting the temple, and we came back. We had a sort of an ugly incident on Harinam. Prabhupada came back. I was a Sankirtan leader. He said to me, so, Indradumna, how was the Harinam today? And I said, Prabhupada, it was really difficult. You know, there was really, he smashed his hand. He said, when did I ever say preaching is easy? When? I had to answer. You didn't. Still, we must go on. Of course, the Lord protects his devotees. Rakhe Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rakike. Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. If Krishna save you, no one can kill you. But we have to tolerate those offenses because this is a troublesome place. One time I had an operation on my vocal cords, singing for so many years. In those days we didn't have microphones and sound systems, you know, we had our clay drums, we didn't have accordions, we just had mridangas and kartals, and you know, so after so many years I developed what we call a nodule on the vocal cord. The doctor looked at my throat. He said, in my entire career, and I'm 64, I've never seen such a big nodule on someone's vocal cords. What are you singing, young man? I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You have to have an operation. So we scheduled the operation. I came, you know, they sedated, the anesthesia, and I was totally knocked out. And obviously they began to operate. You know, they had to go in and they had to cut. So, a difficult operation. The anesthesiist had made a miscalculation, and I woke up in the middle of the operation. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you're already groggy. Sometimes I wake up, I travel so much, I wake up, where am I? Those of you who travel, you know, it's like every 3 days I'm some different. I wake up, am I in America, England, or India? I have to look outside. Looks like Europe. Oh no, it's Sydney. When you wake up from an anesthesia, if you have an operation, you're like really groggy. So I woke up and I was groggy. I couldn't really remember I was having an operation. I saw a masked man with a knife in my throat. My father used to say, I have a good right hook. I hit the doctor. Broke his nose. There was blood everywhere. I remember, and then anesthesia. She put, because they're right on top of everything, and she immediately put me under. She put me out for 4 hours. She was so angry. So when I woke up, recovery room, the doctor came in with the nurses who had assisted in the operation. And the nurses were so angry. And I didn't remember anything because, you know, it was just the anesthesia. And the doctor had this big stick, you know, like here, and tape all around his face. And I said, the doctor, what happened to you? So the nurse, she became very angry. And she said, you hit our doctor. You. The doctor said, stop. He said, you cannot accuse this boy of anything. He was under the influence of the drug. He did not act as he usually acts. And I thought about that a lot afterwards, you know, because a few days later I was on Sankirtan. I couldn't say anything because my voice was resting. I had a little placard. Hi, I'm a monk. I've just come back from India. I learned a lot of things. It's all in this book. I wasn't doing very well, but I sold a few books a day. But, you know, it was Paris and France, and, you know, in those days we had some opposition, and I kept thinking, you know, when people would become antagonistic towards me, appeared as an enemy, I'm just thinking, hey, they were just, I was in the same situation. I acted in an antagonistic way to a friend, but why? I was under the influence of the drug. So people are under the influence of the modes of nature. Goodness, okay, but passion and ignorance. And sometimes when someone's very influenced by ignorance, he may act like he wouldn't act if he was a devotee. Tatikshiva. Therefore, Mahaprabhu says that in chanting the holy name, which means our chanting and chanting loudly for the benefit, to be more tolerant than a tree. He's not just talking about the mosquitoes and dengue fever and, you know, and the hot, cold, the hot weather in late October and the cold is going to... He's talking about our main mission in life. Like father, like son. We also can't have friends. We also have to be equal. At least we have to give as much mercy as we can, and that it is up to the people. Like, the sun's out. The sun's there for everyone, but some people go out in the sun, some stand in the shade. So some may accept the mercy, some may not. That's not our business. Our business is preachers. These verses can all be made very, very practical for our own execution of Krishna consciousness, because we're sons of a glorious Lord and a wonderful Father, Srila Prabhupada, and we imbibe their mood. We imbibe the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. My dear Lord Nrisingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Monavrat. They're not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know, I realize that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. So, we don't have friends or enemies. We're equal to all. We never consider ourselves better than others. We never think like that. We were on the street a few moments ago. Causeless intervention of the Lord and His devotee, are we sitting where we are today? If we're better at anything, it's simply that we're more fortunate than others. And we have to try our best to share our good fortune with them. So this is the true meaning of Samhaya, having no friends, no enemies, being equal to all, a vision which is exemplified and taught to us by Prabhupada, by our previous acharyas, and by the Lord Himself, and today by the Prajetas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrīla Gaura Nitāi ki, Śrī Krishna Balarāma ki, Radha Samsundar ki, the month of Kartik ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shankar.